Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Ellen Page to talk about her new movie, Freeheld, which I saw last night. Great job in the movie. Let's just talk about the timeliness of this thing. So you guys started shooting this before the Supreme Court ruling, right? And then you're in post-production, and then you're watching all this unfold, and you say, wow, we have a movie about this coming out right now. Talk about that.
Yeah, we were filming it a year ago right now, so I think the film had pretty much just been completed. Like, everything was done when the Supreme Court made that incredible decision. I think this is a special time for this film to come out, because, you know, the situation only happened 10 years ago, and I think, therefore, it's a celebration of how far we've come in such a short amount of time, because if Laurel and Stacey had been able to get married, they wouldn't have been in the situation they found themselves in. And I hope that it shows just what the implications of inequality are. Because when we do have these amazing moments happen, there can tend to be some backlash. And you hope that this film can demonstrate just how important that recent decision is.
Is that sort of how you view it then? Is it's almost a stopgap kind of movie against potential backlash to keep it from backsliding?
Well, really, I think it's actually just Laurel and Stacey's love and their story, you know? You hope that when someone watches this film and sees that, you know, what they went through and how much they loved each other, their dedication towards one another, how Laurel was treated, particularly after spending her entire career protecting the citizens of New Jersey and then being denied her rights strictly because she was in a same-sex relationship. I think you hope that it can move someone, and maybe someone who doesn't fully understand or perceives the LGBT community as different or other can, you know, realize we're all the same. And I guess that's what you hope for.
Absolutely. Yeah. How much time did you get to spend time with Stacey beforehand? Because I thought it was one of the most powerful parts in the movie, you know, and the end credits was when you actually see them, actually the photos together.
Yeah.
It's a little heartbreaking, obviously, but how much time did you get to spend with her, and what was that like?
I got to spend a lot of time with Stacey, and as did Julianne and Ron Nicewander, who wrote the screenplay, and she was incredible to us, you know, so generous, so available, and as you can imagine, talking about a lot of this is really emotional for her. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing opportunity, and just to get to know someone who I have so much admiration for. And she's a really, really special person.
Absolutely. You mentioned the screenplay and the screenwriter. Obviously, you wrote Philadelphia, and that's almost one of those movies where you remember where you were when you saw it. I mean, it was earth-shattering. Do you remember where you were and when you saw that movie and how it touched you?
Oh, shoot. I wish I did. I mean, I love that film. I don't remember necessarily.
Right. Well, not necessarily where you were then, but, you know, what do you remember about that experience watching it for the first time?
Oh, my gosh. I just remember being so, so moved. And I, you know, like I was saying in regards to people hopefully connecting to Laurel and Stacey's story and love and what they went through helps transform hearts and minds. You know, I think that's what Philadelphia offered and allowed people this, you know, deeply human story, and particularly during that horrific time, to hopefully make people understand that situation and go beyond the kind of ignorance that was the ignorant ideas that were surrounding it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and here we are these many years later, and it's almost like you still got to remind people. You know, it's almost crazy to think that, hey, how have we not moved on from that, you know?
Yeah.
But remind me, when did you came out in, was it last year,
last year?
It was before X-Men, right?
Last year, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, okay, cool. Could you imagine trying to do this before that, and how it might have been almost, you know, how would that have been an emotional experience compared to this? Almost like you're putting on more. What is the freedom to do it now, post that?
It's hard to say. I'm gonna preface with what I'm about to say with the fact that this is Laurel died, and this is an incredibly devastating story, and I could never even begin to imagine what that experience was like for Stacey, but of course it was an emotional experience making it. That being said, it was special to be out and to be playing a gay character and to be playing someone that I admire so much. And, you know, I can't even wrap my head around what it would mean to be a closeted actor and play this part. And quite frankly, it's just, I really think that would be inappropriate and wrong, actually.
Yeah. So it almost takes being where you are now to be able to even attempt it. Absolutely. Talk about working with Julianne Moore. I mean, you're working on the heels of the Oscar-winning, you know, this crazy run that she just had, and actually, kind of similar, you know, dying character. You're in a way the Alec Baldwin of the relationship from Still Alice. She's Still Alice, but in a way, different way here. Cancer instead of Alzheimer's. But you know, talk about, you know, what did you pick up from playing off of each other? I mean, when you have a role like this, you guys must come to a special place together as people, and you know, and moving forward, you're always going to remember that too, you know. So what was it, what did you pick up from her as an actress?
Well, Julianne's extraordinary, obviously. She's one of the best actors ever, and to have the opportunity to work with her is amazing. And then beyond that, Julianne's one of the most generous, kind-hearted, funny, delightful, protective people you could have the pleasure of knowing. And we were fortunate that we just really bonded quickly and really tried to establish a comfort and an ease in our intimacy, and really did form a partnership off screen as well as on screen. You know, we were always together, like connected, arms around each other, you know, excited to see each other in the morning, and you know, and really, you know, it was hard to say goodbye when it was done. So I think when you do work with someone as unbelievable as Julianne Moore, it's pretty much impossible to not be present with her when you're working with her, because she's just that good. So I just got lucky, you know, that I get to work with her. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then who else in the cast? Oh, Steve Carell. Yeah. I mean, he's sort of he provides a little bit comic relief in the movie, which is, I mean, otherwise a pretty, you know, heavy movie, obviously. Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
But was he sort of that, did he function as that on the set as well? Was he sort of keeping it light as well on set?
No, Steve's that's the first time I've really been around Steve Carell, who I'm such a massive, massive, massive fan of. And he's, you know, he's, I'd say if anything, he's a more quiet guy for sure.
Okay.
But he did such a great job with this role, because Stephen Goldstein, who he plays, who I've met, extraordinary activist, Steve Carell just nailed it. He totally nailed it, and he did such a great job portraying Stephen Goldstein.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How about the director? What was it like working with him? Because you worked with some great, you know, let's be serious, some great filmmakers, visionary filmmakers, and screenwriters in the past. But how did this experience, you know, compare?
Well, Pete's amazing. I've always been a huge fan of Pete since Raising Victor Vargas, which I just thought was so beautiful and intimate and a gorgeous, gorgeous love story. And he's just a phenomenal person to work with. He is so, you know, like he really wanted to hire like all female department heads, which he did. And he just creates an energy on set where you feel safe, you feel comfortable. He has a beautiful heart, and he... He really is a tremendous person to work with. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know we probably got to wrap it up soon. So before we go, do you mind, maybe we can end this. I did this with David Oyelowo and it worked pretty well. We just kind of did like a little rapid fire about some of his other roles, and you just said this first thing that kind of comes to your mind when I say it. Is that
first
right?
First word or first thing?
Word, phrase, anything.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be one word if you don't want. But all right.
Yeah.
We got to start. Juno.
Sarcastic.
Anything else? Any other thoughts on it?
Because
how many years it's been? That was 2007?
I was 20 when I made it, so eight years ago for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you look back and say, man, I would have done this differently because I'm older, or do you say, that was an Oscar-nominated role? I'll leave it right there.
No, I mean, I haven't seen it, obviously, since it came out. So,
really?
Yeah. No, I don't. So,
do you never go back and watch the roles? Or?
No, I don't tend to. I probably watch something once, maybe twice, you know, if you're at a premiere or you've seen it before or whatever. Yeah, no, that was a crazy experience, and didn't expect all of that to happen, which happened, so it was pretty special,
Do you stay in touch with Diablo?
Yeah, we see each other in L.A. from time to time,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's do Inception.
Mm.
Christopher Nolan.
I was going to swear. You probably can't swear.
No, you can go ahead. I can always cut it out. This is pre-tape,
babe. I was going to say mindfuck.
That's what we all thought watching it, too.
Totally. It's funny when you are about to start a movie that's that big and shoots for that long. I remember being like, oh, what's this going to be like? 5 months. It's a really long time. And it was, like, just extraordinary. I just loved going to set every day. And the thing that is amazing about Chris Nolan is you know, you, of course, there's days where you're flipping upside down in a van and right. water's coming at you, you're hanging upside down. But when he shoots so intimately. And with Wally, he's an incredible cinematographer. It's like everything's handheld and you really get the feeling that you're, you know, you're telling this like intimate story. And I think that's what, you know, makes his film so successful, because despite the...
Yeah.
Despite the massiveness of this, you know, of those projects, they're really kind of grounded in reality. Even though I did say, pardon my French.
I love it. Maybe we'll do Mind Bleeper. We'll figure out a way to capture. X-Men: Days of Future Past. I think one of the better superhero movies that they've made in this genre, in this little era here, which has been almost way oversaturated with them. But that one kind of stood out to me.
I thought it was special. What do I think? Oh, my Lord. I don't know. This is hard.
Let's just do it like this. We'll wrap this way. A movie like Juno, which is it's like the, you know, indie, gritty thing versus a movie with, like, all the CGI with Days of Future Past or even with Inception. How do you, what's it like working one versus the other? Do you have a preference?
No, they're so different, it's hard to say. I mean, they're different and they're not. Like, my job is to take something off a page and in relation to some my surroundings and who I'm playing, you know, do my homework, and then on the day, make it as present and as truthful as possible, right? Yeah. That's my job. So that's always the same. And then it's just, and when you're shooting a movie like Juno, you don't have a lot of time, you're moving really quickly. And when you're shooting a movie like X-Men, it presents its just like different challenges. You know, it's obviously a completely different world, and or you're acting with, you know, I'm obviously not really looking at a sentinel, and you know what I'm saying.
Oh, you really weren't at the time? Oh, could have fooled me.
Yeah. So you know, it's just it's hard to I feel like my job is always the same, but obviously it can change, you know, different things are different challenging in each form of filmmaking, I guess. Well,
regardless of the type of movie or genre or effects driven versus not, what do you like to see from a director the first time you meet with them? Well, let's say you've read the script and our director sits down with you to go over the character. What's most important to you at that stage?
I mean, honestly, I just like having an enjoyable experience working with someone. I like being with someone who is a filmmaker because they love film and, you know, and is someone I feel like I can trust, so I can go to work every day and be as open and vulnerable as possible. So that's what I enjoy, and I love working with people who have, you know, are so assured and have, you know, their incredible vision or what have you, but are like to have conversations or like to collaborate to a certain degree, and you know that's, and I've been fortunate to work with so many great people who are exactly like that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we've been fortunate to watch the result that you've come up with. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it.